CliffCentral.com.
I've never known a girl like you before.
You know, there are people who only listen to this show to hear my magnificent singing at the end of these songs. I mean, there's all kinds of mental illness in the world. This is just one. Edwin Collins. Never known a girl like you before.
Oh, what a song. Magnificent it is.
Yeah, isn't that great, Sia? I know that's the real reason people listen. I know that. That's why I only do a little bit so that I don't frighten them off completely.
Yeah, am I getting a raise for saying that?
Yes. Yeah. You've just scored an extra 5.3% on what was since everybody's had their salaries sliced, that probably amounts to like a couple of, maybe it's even R5 if you're lucky.
I was going to say R7.50, but.
Well, let's not get greedy now.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't get greedy. All right, so much to talk about, so many things to do, people to see, places to go in another busy week in South Africa as we try to get the economy restarted. And
so much happening this weekend as well.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. But if you've got something to tell us and you want to share a story from your weekend or from what you're busy doing to make things happen, you can do so on 0797482090. Just on the issue of masks and makeup and all the rest of it, Kathy's saying, I haven't worn makeup since lockdown. It's great. I bet you your skin also feels better not having to wear makeup. I mean, I'm obviously, I'm not a guy who wears makeup, but when I go on TV, they put the makeup on because of lighting and all the rest of it and try to make me look at least a little bit more presentable, less like a monster, so I don't frighten the guests and the children. But anyway, when I do that, then I can't wait to get that stuff off. So I actually keep in my little kit of stuff that I use for the TV show, I keep these wet wipes, which are like have makeup remover on them. Because as soon as I get in the car, I wipe that shit off. In fact, as soon as we come off the set.
The corridor
sometime. I'm already getting it off. I can't stand that. So I can only imagine for a woman who's wearing makeup all day, how terrible that must be for you. I think a lot of girls are just so used to it that they don't even think about it. But they put that on. And shame, the woman who does this at ENCA, she's very sweet. And she says to me, bring you something to get it off afterwards, but sometimes she's not there. I just can't wait.
You've scraped it off already.
I have that shit's gone before I even hit the parking lot. It's amazing. So I can only imagine. And also, we had that conversation with Christina not so long ago about the kinds of rashes that people are developing because of mask wearing. Imagine how bad those masks smell.
Acne.
Imagine how bad some people's masks smell when they don't wash them.
Ever since that conversation with Christina, I think about her every time I put cologne on.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was.
What did she say again?
She taught me not to put cologne on, on your neck in front.
Oh, yeah, because it gives you a rash.
That deteriorates your skin there. Yeah. So she suggested spraying the back of your neck. Now I do that as well.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The little things that you need
to know. Useful advice. Absolutely. Very useful advice. Well, Bulelo said the other day that if you don't have your summer body by now, you can forget about it. But I don't want to give up hope. I think I could look a little bit better by December, even though it's highly unlikely that any of us will be going anywhere, right?
The last time I had a summer body was in the 90s.
yo. Please, Leanne.
Ah, the 90s.
Given up.
Yeah. The 90s, lots of memories, zero evidence.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Hey, did you guys see the video of, if you haven't seen it, I don't even know how to begin describing it. A little girl in Limpopo driving a car while I assume it's her siblings, but it's two minor boys in the back seat sticking out of the window. And the father, I assume as well, a male adult, is in the passenger seat recording all of this. Have you seen?
No, that doesn't sound like a good situation. Are all of them still alive?
It really isn't funny. It's not. Okay, well, you know, in terms of safety, it isn't funny.
Limpopo continues to be the dumbest province in the country by a mile, right? I don't think that's unfair. Is there any province that's thicker than the people of the Limpopo at the moment? I mean, generally, if we had to take a rating of each province and figure out which province is the dumbest, I think Limpopo would win.
What about Northern?
No, there's hardly any people there. You're mostly testing kudu.
For this insanity, for this level of insanity. And so it went around on social media over the weekend. And when I first saw it, I was praying and hoping that this is fake or somehow maybe they were, you know, the people in the car had planned all of this. But now the MEC for Social Development in Limpopo is actually saying they have seen the video. They're doing the investigation on this. Right now, they have social workers who are on this case. So it's legitimate. And they're doing investigations to find out exactly how did this all happen.
And how old is the little girl who's driving?
The little girl has to be around, I'd say, like, the oldest she can be is like 10 years old. She's like 9, 10, and the two boys in the back seat, they are probably like 7 or 8. One of the boys, you know, just has his top half sticking out of the window, but the other has wound the window down and is straddling the door.
Oh, my God.
And his head and top half of his body is sticking out of the window.
Well,
you know,
I don't know why we're trying to save these people. I mean, if the father's really that dumb and then the kids will inherit his dumbness, maybe this is how they wipe each other out. I mean, it's horrible to think about it because they're obviously innocent children. And the parent doesn't care about them because otherwise he wouldn't be allowing this behavior. But maybe this is not a family we want to procreate.
So the MEC for Social Development is saying that they believe the male adult is from Seshego in Polokwane and is the one who recorded the video.
Isn't that where Julius is from?
I don't know.
Yes,
I will neither confirm nor deny.
Julius's hometown. It is Seshego.
They are speaking in Sepedi, and the male adult is explaining in the video that the girl is driving herself from school. He even asked the girl if she's enjoying driving. And this girl just like looks like takes her eyes off the road just to look into the camera and smiles a little and then goes back to like driving. And I'm saying like her seat as well is pulled so close to the steering wheel because her little arms can't reach that far.
Of course, it's terrible to do this.
And then the two other boys are referring to the man recording the video as their father. Mm-hmm. And they're just so excited and happy as well. But this is wild. It is absolutely wild.
Yeah, again, bad parenting. You know, Ben used to say that if the children do stupid stuff, and in this case, the kids are hanging out of the back of the car through the windows, and then the littlest girl is driving, and that parent should just be put in jail, really. It's just unbelievable how irresponsible. And he's obviously doing it because he wants to post social media that he thinks is going to go viral.
Yeah, why would you even post something like that?
Well, because you think people will be impressed. It's the same stupid reason so many people do things on social media. Don't do stupid stuff.
And not to generalize here and give fathers a bad name, but I think only a father could do something like this. A mother wouldn't. And to think
you're probably right.
The backlash that the whole country is giving this man, the mother of these kids, is that backlash times 10.
Can you imagine how angry she would be? What did you do? Why did you do this?
I think about just how once my mother left us with our father for about 4 days when she went to a conference. I swear we only ate hot dogs for those 4 days because that's all my dad could manage to do. And then probably towards the end of the second day, my uncle at the time owned a restaurant and he just always took us there for meals. It was like, okay, pile you all in the car. Let's go.
Yeah,
you guys all get your meals
sorted
out there.
I think things have changed a lot, though. I think the fathers have you know, current generations of kids are a lot more involved. Like, I'm with you, Sia. Like my dad also, he didn't make, when my mom went away, which was rare, that he didn't know what to do with us.
Also a lot more guys actually like cooking, and they do a very good job of it.
Yeah.
No, but to be fair, and not to sound like I'm backtracking, I think even the fathers who are not that great at home in terms of cooking or cleaning know not to let their 7-year-old son, for example, stick their head out of a moving car.
Let nature take its course. That's all I. Let's all stop being upset about children that are not ours. Okay, really, what are you going to do? You know, micromanage other people's lives?
Well, you know, we just want everyone to be safe. Is that too much to ask?
But they're not all going to be safe. Some of them are going to be unsafe because they got bizarre parents.
Yeah, but again, sorry to sound like a mom, but it's the other people on the road that is a concern.
No, that's fair enough. Thanks for being a mom. Have you seen this? Have you seen this documentary, My Octopus Teacher?
Oh, I saw the trailer.
Everybody's talking about it.
Talking about it. I still don't know what the hype is. What is it about?
No, neither do I. So someone explain this to me, please.
Okay, so watch the trailer. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It is a beautifully filmed and edited and produced piece.
Yeah.
That with, and then this South African accent comes over it. Mm. And you it's quite a shock, because you wouldn't believe it seems like it's an international production, not to put down South African productions, but the quality is just unbelievable. And it's about this man who doesn't particularly care for animals or anything like that. He starts on one of his dives. He befriends this octopus just takes a real liking to him and starts swimming on his hand and, you know, really interacting with him. And then he goes back every day, and this octopus is there every single day.
Apparently, they are extremely intelligent creatures.
Yes, they are. I actually watch on YouTube this guy who has octopuses, and he makes them do, or he lets them do these sort of tricks where they have to find a way through into the next tank, and you know, they're incredibly intelligent. But then, and it gives it away in the trailer, so I mean, I can, it's not really a spoiler, but all of a sudden you see a shark and the screen goes blurry, and I think it eats the octopus.
Oh no. Oh Jesus, that's his friend gone.
But then he starts befriending other animals in the sea.
He just replaced him like that.
Yeah.
My octopus teacher crosses it out. Salmon. calamari.
My salmon teacher, my starfish teacher.
Oh, man. Apparently, it's octopi. So if you say octopuses, Leanne, you're just finding another excuse to be vulgar.
To be vulgar.
She just wants to swear. I know what she's like. So apparently octopi are really, really smart creatures. They're not very closely related to almost anything else. People are quite confounded by how bizarre octopi are. And in fact, they've confused scientists over the years, because scientists say these things are—they're so different to other sea-dwelling creatures, and they apparently have certain behavioral traits which are just inexplicable. We can't really figure out where they come from, which branch of the evolutionary tree that they're all descended from. It's very hard to figure these things out. So there's much about the octopus that we don't know.
I can't even figure out which way, and I mean, I watch octopi videos, but I can't even figure out which way its face is, like which way, if it's facing forward or backward.
Well, they're very strange, and they've got this funny little mouth, and they've got these strange eyes, and supposedly quite complicated nervous systems. But
I remember they used to use one to select.
Yeah, for the World Cup, didn't they?
Yeah.
There was that one famous octopus that they used for the World Cup to choose who was going to win, and it always seemed to get it right. Just quickly, because I think this is interesting, because I did get an email from somebody about this. That's why I'm talking about it. And she says, you've got to watch this show. I'm just trying to find it now so I can give her credit. But basically saying, yeah, if you don't see any Leanne, it's another Leanne, it's not Leanne Moll. She says, you have to watch it. It's truly beautiful, quite moving and incredible. I have no doubt you'll appreciate it. And then that's on Netflix for anybody who's interested. My Octopus Teacher.
They still make my skin crawl. They're weird looking.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, they're
but okay.
Weird.
And then, so his name is Craig Foster.
Oh, okay.
He's an award-winning documentary filmmaker, and he's a co-founder of the Cape Town-based Sea Change Project.
Very good. Well, it's nice that it has a South African link, obviously.
Mm.
So Fern, who sent us an email last week, remember Fern was upset about something, and she sent this email about how, you know, IQ is not IQ. So important. And yeah. Anyway, she sent me an email over the weekend. Fern says, just listening to your reply to my latest missive, my theory number one, which is the first theory that I have, is that I was having a bad day when I pinned it. As soon as I sent it, though, oh crap, that's not a good one. I thought, I was hoping it would get lost among the many that you receive every day. I'm not usually such an emotional person, says Fern, but after the lockdown, I have a habit of having these feelings creep up on me every now and then. I've been avoiding the podcasts where strumpet is mentioned in the blurb because that's just way too much to bear. Hope you have an awesome weekend. Regards, Fern. I'm not sure what you mean by the strumpet.
I also don't know.
What's that all about? Anyway, Fern.
Is she referring to me?
But Fern, there's never any hard feelings, so don't worry. I address the issue as you send it to me, and therefore, you know, we all move on. By the way,
say it like you mean it.
Yeah, this goes for anybody. If you send me an email and it sounds like I'm upset, it usually isn't because I'm upset. It's usually just because I prefer to take you seriously. I assume that you mean something and that it's important to you. And that's why I'll respond with the same level of importance and passion and interest. Otherwise, why bother? I'm not going to read a boring email that nobody cares about. And I'm also not going to respond to something that doesn't seem to evoke some emotion. So.
So you aren't upset, you're just passionate.
I don't get upset. Not for long anyway. Leanne, when have you ever seen me upset for more than 5 minutes?
No, it's very short-lived.
I have octopus-level irritation. So I'll be irritated for 5 seconds and then it's gone.
Mm.
Goldfish-level memory for things like that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get on to some news stories. Anything in the news that's bothering you at the moment? Anything that you paid attention to over the weekend? There are some updates on that. Remember that there were those two women sitting at a restaurant and the kid was sitting there and some drug addict tried to grab the child and kidnap it. And this other dude in a black shirt like came to the rescue. You can't believe this guy. He jumped over tables and he wrestled this dude to the ground and held him
Where
in a chokehold.
Have we found legitimacy in that video? Because
yes,
it happened
in Florida, in Johannesburg.
Okay.
Yeah,
from what I heard was North Cliff, and then I wasn't getting any other details around it, like which restaurant, why haven't we heard from anyone who was involved there.
Yeah.
It was a stunning video.
Well, this guy rescued this kid. Apparently, they interviewed him afterwards. Real, like, filthy, dirty, you know, mutt of a human being who was obviously on all kinds of drugs because he was high even while they were interviewing him. I mean, like someone was filming with their cell phone while they were asking him questions. I'm not even sure it was the police.
Well, the mob got hold of him.
Yeah, it happened in Florida and Johannesburg. And apparently this guy... either he runs the restaurant or he runs a dry cleaner nearby, and his name is Deschel something or another, and he wrestled this dude to the ground. Good for him. I mean, what a hero. You know, there are real heroes among us, and who wouldn't respond like that if they saw a child being snatched? I think everybody, even the least aggressive people in the world, would realize how wrong that is and jump to the rescue of a child. There's something about that that would just infuriate anybody, right?
Yeah, for sure.
See, what scared me in that video is, you know, as a society, you're always told how to protect your kids and, you know, make sure that your kids don't leave school with a stranger or, you know, lock your doors. But this was just a normal family sitting in a restaurant, minding their own business. And this guy just leapt over the barriers to go and grab this child. So now if there are people honestly just rushing out to snatch kids. That's really scary.
Yeah. Here's an update from Ruth. She says apparently it was a drug addict who had an altercation with the mom, and he obviously tripped out of his mind. No excuses. Apparently they can't find this guy, though. So they say he might be missing. And who knows what that means. Not sure if you've mentioned this yet. The head of research for vaccines in South Africa has come out and said that he reckons about 45% of the population have probably already had the virus. We're just immune to it now. Like herd immunity. That's from Brandon. Well, wouldn't that be interesting? Didn't we say so right at the start of this thing? And someone else saying octopuses is 8 times the puss. That's from I think, Graham. And apparently, I'm wrong. The plural is octopuses. Someone criticizing Leanne here. Chris saying, please rather watch The Octopus Teacher. Leanne just butchered the plot.
Okay. Well, then the trailer butchered it because I just said what was in the trailer. But yes. Okay.
Exactly. Excuse the shoddy spelling. Thy coffee is not kicked in yet. But morning, guys. Thanks for easing us in with the usual laughs. So while Sia was having his nose waxed, we visited an animal rescue organization on Saturday. They offer puppy therapy slots between 2 and 5 every Saturday. You get to play with the foster puppies, the kittens, and the farm animals who are residents on the farm. My daughter had never heard of a donkey before, and it was so funny how she stopped and looked at it and said, "You're weird." It truly is the little things in life that make it special. One does not have to spend a lot of money to enjoy the outdoors and spend quality time with the family. Have a great day and an excellent show. Thanks very much. Well, that's very nice. That sounds like fun.
Oh, that's like my dream.
No, please tell us where that is. That does sound fun.
Janet. Let us know, Janet. And then Nat's saying, morning.
Damn it, Janet.
There's a whole interview with the restaurant guy in yesterday's report. He is the owner of the restaurant, and he has Eastern Fighting Training. He's from Indonesia and took over the restaurant recently. Wow, even better. If he's the owner of the restaurant, good for him. Isn't that great?
Sure.
Rescuer. Hero. Now, you know, they'll give like the order of Mapungubwe to a singer, but they won't immediately call this guy to the union buildings and say, here is an award from the people of South Africa for saving a child.
It's not a funny situation at all, but I related to the two ladies who were at a table near where all of this happened. As soon as they saw this guy jump over the barriers, these two ladies just put their hands up and they started backing away into a corner. I don't know what I can do here. Not me, not I, nope.
Okay, so as I was saying, not everybody is going to jump to the rescue of a child. Clearly, some people don't care. Someone sent me a screenshot. Apparently, octopi or octopuses is an acceptable plural.
There we go.
I love that this has
octopuses it is.
You can call it whatever you like, all right? Thank you. Both are correct. Very good. That's awesome. Information supplied by H. Thank you, H. Very, very nice. It's important to know whether to say octopuses or octopi. That's what we do. Damn it, Sia.
The answer that you need to respond to.
Yeah. Octopussy is the best.
All right, here quickly. This is interesting. Janet's saying, for people who want to know, it's in Uistenberg Vlakte in Cape Town. On the way to Paarl, the organization is called Bella's Guardian Angels, and they do have a Facebook page.
That's so divine.
So there we go. For anyone who was,
but it's far from us. If anyone wants to play with me,
all right.
On a Saturday afternoon.
Anyone wants to play with you on a Saturday afternoon, they can just find you on.
You get old.
Which app is it again that you're on, Sia?
You can come straight to my house. Cut the middleman.
Cut the middleman out and just message Sia directly if you want to visit and play with him. Very exciting. Sorry, I missed that. What did you say?
I respond extremely well to belly rubs. If you can feed me as well, just feed me, that's great.
Oh my God.
Tell you how cute you are.
Absolutely, that's the winner.
Oh, jeez.
So there was quite a lot on the internet about September the 11th over the weekend, and I can't believe that next year it'll be 2 decades. Since the World Trade Center.
Jeez, yeah.
Two decades.
I got sucked into researching a documentary that's just come out. It's called 9/11 Kids.
Yeah.
And they profile and interview the children who were in that preschool class where President Bush was reading. Because remember that happened. He was scheduled to read a story. And those kids retell what they remember from that day. The fact that they all had to prepare and were so excited that the president was coming to see them. But then that, you know, as soon as the president started, everything had to stop. And even the teacher also comments and speaks about how she was worried that she had offended the president, because as soon as the man whispered in the president's ear, now we know what he was saying. But the president's expression just changed, his demeanor changed, and they thought, okay, what did we do? You know, like he was trying to appease him differently. But then
I wonder what was said to him, because it was a short message that was given.
So
how do you summarize what the hell
he was busy on? Reading? Yeah. He was busy reading a book about a goat or something. Remember?
Wasn't it upside down?
No, it wasn't. That was nice. he was reading this book about this goat, and then I think the Secret Service guy came over and said, "Mr. President, there's been a terrorist attack," and then he kind of tried to be calm because he, you know, didn't want to upset the kids, which is the right way for someone to behave. And
true.
He kind of finished off the story, but you could see he was sitting there agitated, and then he managed to get away.
Also, these kids talk about how now they were all rushed into the gym because a press conference had been set up in a matter of minutes now. Yeah. Their story time obviously ended. They were all had to, you know, file in. And
there's still some kids who don't know what happened to the goat.
That's traumatizing.
Jesus. I mean, I'd be upset if I came there to listen to this president tell me the goat story and he never finished his goat story. Very selfish of him.
But yeah, seeing these kids now as teenagers and in their early 20s, that shows how much time has passed from this.
Sia, you must have been 5 when this all went down.
I was at preschool, and I actually...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was at preschool and specifically at aftercare, and I remember how... Well, it now sounds odd, but our... minders had actually left us for quite a while. They were out of our playroom. I remember thinking, this is weird. Where are they all? And I walked into our lounge and noticed that they were just like glued to the screen watching, you know, the Twin Towers and how messy that was.
Yeah, you see, the fact that you can even remember that at that age is just incredible. I remember it all very, very clearly. A friend of mine actually sent me a message over the weekend to say, "Do you remember that you and I were on the phone and you said to me, the World Trade Center has just been attacked?" Mm-hmm. And I'd forgotten, to be perfectly honest, that I'd spoken to her. But I'd spoken to a lot of people that day. And I actually went for a lunch and then we got back or a breakfast, and we got back, and that was when it was all happening. Because it was happening at 9 a.m. American time. So it was like afternoon. Here in South Africa.
Yeah. Probably two or three in the afternoon.
I was on air at the time with Darren Scott. We were watching it on TV and giving the news to everyone who was listening.
I still say, as you know, people say that President Bush couldn't really string a sentence together, whatnot. Maybe he had a great ghostwriter, but his book Decision Points details the whole scenario of what he went through on that day. And it's really good. It's a really good book.
Yeah, Decisionification Points. Yeah. That was the book I wrote. All right, so let's turn our attention now to something we tried to do last week, and I think we screwed it up because we just had a bad connection with Nicholas. So he's on the phone with us now. Nicholas is a licensed Canadian immigration consultant. He lives in South Africa. He's back again this morning to tell us about South Africans, what they're saying and why they're leaving SA and why they're going to Canada. So, Nicholas, nice to see you again.
Thanks so much, Gareth. It's great to see you and the gang.
It sounds like you're – at least we can hear you properly this morning, but it does sound like you're in a helicopter.
Well, I actually invested in these game set headphones so you could hear me better.
Yeah, no, it sounds good. That sounds good. So let's just talk quickly about Canadian immigration and, you know, like what's required, because I've heard stories about various countries in the world that if you want to move there, and let's just take South Africa out of it for a second, if you want to move there from anywhere, there are certain countries in the world that will accept you as a permanent resident or a citizen, but you need to have tons of money and you need to have all kinds of qualities and qualifications, and it makes it really hard. How difficult is it for someone to get into Canada?
Well, it depends who you are and how you want to enter Canada, okay? Mm-hmm. So, as I mentioned to you last time, Canada is on a recruitment drive to allow 1 million new permanent residents into the country to address labor shortages, population. 60% of those 1 million people who are going to enter, they're going to immigrate through what we call economic immigration. Mm-hmm. Okay. What is economic immigration? It's essentially visa programs, which Canada has dozens of, arranged employment, or coming in as a skilled worker.
Right.
And the way Canada ranks and selects applicants for permanent residency in that economic class is they assign a point system because they want to prioritize who's coming in. So let's say somebody like Sia on the show wants to immigrate to Canada as a permanent resident. Yeah. He wants to come in as a skilled worker.
Right.
Well, he'll be assigned a point out of 1,200, let's say, in what we call the express entry pool. So it's a pool of applicants. So look at his age. So the fact that he's really young is great. He has a bachelor, which is good. He has a couple of years work experience. And his English score is important. And he'll be assessed a score. So somebody like Sia or somebody at around his age could just come in as a skilled worker if they can attain the highest amount of points.
Okay.
But then there's somebody like you who's probably in his 40s.
Oh, Jesus.
It's not going
to tell everybody.
It's not going to be that easy for you to come in as a permanent resident without a job at your age.
Right.
But Canada appreciates that somebody like you could contribute to the country through an economic way. Mm-hmm. So let's say you want to start a business, okay?
Yeah.
Or you want to buy a business in Canada. You can come in, and in that express entry pool, they'll look at your core human capital factors like your age, but then they'll assign you 600 bonus points, okay?
Okay.
So basically, Canada has this very dynamic system where they score people based on how they want to come in, whether they want to invest, whether they would just want to come in as a skilled worker, whether you have a job lined up, you get extra points for that. And then there's a variety of other ways you can come in and study, which is a very popular way. Last year, the government of Canada let in over 400,000 students, foreign students. We have the largest population of foreign students in the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's about 650,000 foreign students in Canada at any given time. Mm-hmm. And the reason is, unlike most countries, Canada retains its foreign student graduates. They give you an open work permit. You work again in the point system to create points for your PR. Then you go to citizenship. Right. So it's a very popular way, even for South Africans. So, Gareth, in terms of the South African context, more and more South Africans are looking to move to Canada.
So in other words, I mean, it's interesting. So everyone is assessed then individually in terms of what the contribution is that they can make, whether that's financial, if they're older, if they're young and they bring certain skills in, then that helps. So everyone gets a point system and it's merit.
More or less.
Yeah.
It's merit based. And the thing with the point system, it takes the guessing out of the immigration. It takes kind of, if you would, for a lot of better term, any funny business. Your points are your points.
All right.
And really, the game is, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you now, but I wanted to ask you a specific question. So what about this idea of brain drain and what white flight they call it too? Do you have any evidence of this happening? Is this a myth or is this something that's really going on? I mean, I've got friends who live in Vancouver now, who both of them very highly qualified people, They've got important jobs. The one is in law. The other one is in business consulting. And they've done really well. They're living a great life in Vancouver right now. And they probably would have been contributing to South Africa's economy. Is that the kind of thing we're talking about?
Look, it's undisputable that Canada is looking for the best and brightest around the world, both in terms of skilled workers and entrepreneurs, business investors, industrials, that sort of thing. In terms of the South African context, what I can tell you, Gareth, it's across the board. It's not limited to one particular race, ethnicity, economic class. I'll tell you right now something you may find strange, but my number one call in South Africa by a country mile is black doctors in Johannesburg.
They want to go
for whatever reason.
Really?
They want to go to Canada.
Right.
My number two call is kind of lawyers, black and white, in that Stanton area. And it really, for them, it comes down to economics. They know they can be earning more in other jurisdictions. Then the third is just across the board. Every walk of life, every type of industry, even journalists and media personalities sometimes call me, Gareth. teachers, librarians.
Yeah.
And in fact, Canada does have a specialized visa for people in the arts and athletes, non-points-based system, because they want to attract culture. But the thing is, in terms of a brain drain in South Africa, I'm not sure. I can tell you in the early 90s, late 90s, Canada had a significant brain drain. We were losing our top people to the U.S. Right. It got really bad. So what did Canada do? We opened up our immigration borders and just started taking people from other countries. So if you spend enough time in the Canadian medical system, you will run into a South African doctor.
You know, this is interesting. I think that if you have skills that are in huge demand, you should really be able to go anywhere in the world that you want to go and find the kind of employment and find the kind of remuneration and the kind of lifestyle that you want for yourself and for your children and for your family. And I don't see how this could be a problem. I think for anybody, this is always something that you should have on the agenda. I think the idea that Canada is looking for people like that is interesting. Apparently, I don't know, you can maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but there are estimates that 25,000 South Africans will move to Canada over the next 4 to 5 years. Is that about right?
That's absolutely correct. And I'll tell you why. The numbers in terms of South Africans moving is trending up. They've almost doubled in the last 5 years. But there's also a really important factor to consider, and something I've talked to you about, is that immigration is all about push and pull. So we know why the reasons why people want to leave South Africa. And we also know why Canada needs to attract more people, because we just need a bigger tax base, that's simply put.
Right.
But then you have to understand, in the UK, which is the number one spot for South Africans, they have a more restrictive immigration policy right now. They're clamping down. Associated with that, Boris Johnson has committed to allowing to honor the agreement with the Hong Kong foreign nationals to come over. So they're expecting about 200,000 to 300,000 Hong Kongers to come in the next 5 years. Well, what does that mean? That quota is going to be met. There's not going to be room for other people in other countries. The same thing will happen to Australia. So you have to understand, immigration is about migration. You're moving people from around the world. Mm-hmm. Certain doors are closing, other doors are opening. So I foresee, right now there's about 35, 40,000 South Africans in Canada right now, estimates. I think over the next 5 to 6 years, you're going to see that double, especially with a big move for businesses.
Well, you mentioned businesses, and this is really important. So a lot of South African businesses are actually moving into Canada because the people who run those businesses or own them are moving in there as well. The movement of business is also easy to track, right? It's just like population, except that businesses obviously don't come with needs for health care or education or any of that stuff. They come in with value and they add value to an economy. South African businesses seem to be moving elsewhere in the world because there are bigger opportunities for them.
Absolutely. And Canada acknowledges that. So they've actually created special non-point-based immigration programs to attract businesses.
Right.
And I can tell you right now, the two businesses that we definitely see moving from South Africa to Canada are kind of the restaurant industries that, you know, a hospitality industry. And the second one is tech. And I'll tell you why. You know, South Africa is a great country for technology. You guys have great tech entrepreneurs, really smart people, especially in the blockchain community. But tech, the oil that greases the wheels of tech is financing.
Yes.
Okay. And there's just not enough VC, angel finance, institutional financing down there. So a lot of tech companies are looking to Canada to create their beachhead there and be able to eventually move the company to the U.S., which is very easy to go from Canada to the U.S. because of our trade treaties.
Right.
And then you can access the Far East. And Canada has special startup visa programs for tech companies. Again, outside of the point system, where if you have a great idea, the government of Canada will give you instant permanent residency and say, come and get going, build your business. Again, that's the startup visa program. So really, Gareth, when you talk about people being able to move around the world and experience different things, right now, the way immigration works is whether it's businesses or skilled workers, they see themselves like footballers, okay? Looking for like, they're free agents.
Sure.
And they're going to go to the team and jurisdiction where they think they can maximize their value, right?
Absolutely.
And that's kind of like big picture of how things are shaping up right now.
Any questions from you, Leanne? I know that you've been desperate to get to Toronto all your life. She thinks her perfect husband is waiting for her there.
I've got friends who went over just recently, and yeah, it's very tempting, I must say. The thing for me is, how does the private South African medical the health system compared to that of Canada's? So if you're on a good medical aid here,
well, first of all, their public health care is very good. So yeah, that's already something worth talking about. But what kind of lifestyle changes do most South Africans ask you about? Because I'm sorry to interrupt your question, Leanne, but this is something I'd be interested in. So what are the differences for a South African who lives in Canada and has been used to the kinds of things that we do in South Africa, the kind of things we pay for, the climate, the way we live, the kinds of houses we live in? What are the big changes, and what do people ask you when they're trying to immigrate into Canada?
How cold is it?
I knew that. It's always right up there.
Yeah. So the first thing they ask me is about the weather and about the snow, and as if they're going to be able to survive.
And I tell them,
yeah, there's going to be an adjustment period, but we cope and we manage here. But Gareth, the truth is, and again, I'm a Canadian citizen, but I'm also a permanent resident in South Africa. I live in South Africa. You know, I love the people. I love the country. There is a lot of similarities. You know, the Canadians and South Africans, they're both passionate people, extremely friendly, extremely hardworking, extremely innovative, and that's across the board. So Canada, aside from the weather, it's a natural fit. There are things that you're going to have to get used to. For instance, I think Leanne was asking about healthcare.
Yeah.
Things like momentum and discovery, that just doesn't exist here. Canadians don't know what private insurance is. Mm-hmm. Everybody has the right to free and accessible healthcare. And, you know, I remember when I was in Johannesburg, I went for a CAT scan on my foot. And I went in, got it, and then I walked out, and five nurses chased me out. Like, why haven't you paid? Where are you going? And I just forgot to pay because I'm not used to that. Now, they didn't believe me. They thought I was just like trying to scam them and walk out without paying. But
right. If
you go to any hospital or physician, there's no Visa card. There's no payment mechanism. You just have your Canada health card. So it's little things like that.
Jeez.
Wow.
So
No, but it depends. If you're a senior, that gets covered. But usually medication is not covered. But if you can't pay for it, you can apply for subsidy programs.
Okay. All right.
I think for me, what would be amazing right now is the feeling of not being fearful when someone is approaching me in just outside my driveway. the feeling of not being fearful when I worry that my car is still going to be there when I've parked in a street.
Yeah, what's you guys don't have any crime at all in Canada. Hey, you wiped out crime back in 1993. Wasn't that the story?
Well, well, look, Canada's just a different place. We have different issues here. And South Africa is a different place and has different issues. But in terms of problems, crime and safety is low on the list in Canada. And a lot of that is, guys, you have to remember something. Canada's a very young country. We're naturally protected by two oceans. We never had a revolution or a civil war. We just haven't had a troubled past. So we're very fortunate in that respect.
Sure.
And other countries just they have a different history, a different background. Yes.
Well, listen, this is all very interesting. If you want to know something about this, then your company's called Beaver Immigration, which I think is hilarious. The beaver, of course, is an animal which is associated with Canada. That's Beaver Immigration.com. If you want to find out more, you can speak to Nicholas directly. But it is interesting that people are choosing Canada. Who are your main competitors? You said the UK and Australia.
Yeah, for in terms UK, Australia, slash New Zealand, then Europe slash Israel. That's where South Africans usually head up.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Very, very interesting. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Be well.
All right, man. Thank you. Very good to meet you. Thank you, Nicholas. That's bye-bye. Interesting bye-bye. Stuff, huh? Don't you think? So you want to go to Canada, A, and B?
And B.
What do you want to do the rest of the time? All right. Very interesting.
Yeah, I follow a YouTuber in Canada, and yeah, the lifestyle there is definitely enticing.
So funny, we were talking about you know, all the countries in the world that you might want to be in during lockdown, and it turns out like Australia's got these really draconian, especially in Victoria province, really draconian measures that are being implemented. You've got family over there, and Israel.
They're like that all the time, whether there's COVID or not.
Yeah, I mean, listen to Israel. So Israel's locked down again. It's all been confirmed in Israeli news that the government has authorized a lockdown from Friday 2 p.m. for 3 weeks. Everything is closed. You're only allowed 500 meters from your home. So, that's just insane. Because they're now going back into lockdown. They think that's going to help them.
Oh, that's going to be hard.
It's going to be
like
so difficult.
When they re-banned alcohol,
yeah.
Made people very angry because it was the second time.
Yeah, again, like just look at what's going on in the world. I mean, you know, lockdown has not proven to be the best way to deal with this thing. And now that the Israelis are doing this, look, they are going into a whole lot of Jewish holidays now. So maybe that's part of the reason they're doing it too, is just to stop the spread during the holidays.
Once out and about.
Correct. Because there are people who've been staying at home and who've been keeping away from everybody else, but who knows? Look.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
My favorite Jewish holiday is coming up.
Which one's that?
The one where your Jewish friends have to ask for, they have to apologize to you and ask for forgiveness. My favorite.
Yeah, they're not interested in you really, Sia. That's the day.
No, they are.
You're talking about the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, right?
I remember I was fighting with a Jewish friend of mine, and I thought, it's September. So I know if I keep being bitter for the next 2 weeks, he'll have to come crawling back to me, and Bob's your uncle. It happened.
No, I don't know if that's exactly the point, but there we go. But I've been reading this really good book. It's the story of the history of Jerusalem. By a guy called Simon Montefiore. I actually posted it on my Instagram the other day, and I'm absorbed. I got to sleep at like midnight last night reading this book. Really interesting. It's also interesting because we started season 4 of Blind History, and the first episode is the reason I bought this book, is because I had to do some research around the first episode. I think you're going to like it. It's Blind History's back with a vengeance, and that starts soon. To stick around for the launch of season 4.
Is it going to be based on people again?
Yes. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
who would the first person be then?
I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to wait and
see.
But it's
is it Jesus?
No. Although we've got to cover him at some point as well. because
No, he's covered in the blood of Christ.
Yes, thank you, Sam. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, just because you're a pastor's son doesn't mean you have to muscle in this territory. But yeah, the story the story of Jerusalem is fascinating. That place is, I absolutely have to go there. I still haven't been in my life.
It was my grand's favorite place in the world. She went 4 times.
Really?
For extended periods, yeah.
Wow. There's so much history in every rock and stone in that place.
I have 5 pebbles from the valley where the David and Goliath thing happened.
I think that's the Kidron Valley, right?
I don't know. I can't remember. It's been a while.
So I'm fascinated with all of this stuff because reading this book has just reignited a history interest for me in the Middle East, and especially in Jerusalem, which is obviously the center of the world for Muslims, for Christians, and for Jews. Mm. And the things that happened there and the people and the stories. I mean, we all know the big stories, right? We know about Moses and Muhammad and Jesus. But there are stories about people who, like Herod the Great, the king of the Jews, of Judah at the time. King Herod the Great, this guy was unbelievable. I mean, just the story of his death is one of the most horrible stories I've ever heard. The things that happened to him. And then his family, the Herodians who came after him, and you know, the Maccabees before that. It's all just terrific. The whole story is, you can see why Jerusalem is this extraordinary place that means so much to so many people and continues to be one of the most controversial places in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. So there we go, from Israel's lockdown to Jerusalem.
Sure.
Power.
Yeah. And Mbulelo says that his mom loves Jerusalem and she goes every year. He went twice. He says it's a dust bowl with a famous wall. But then, that would be typical of Mbulelo. Let's just quickly look at one or two messages.
Glad he wasn't writing the top billing script.
Jeez. I'm glad he wasn't writing the history books either. Thank God for Josephus and Tacitus and Cassius Dio and not for Mbulelo. Vania says, good morning, guys. Some words ending in us, which have come to the English language from Latin only. You take the plural formed by ending in I. That's interesting. So words ending
going back to octopus.
Yeah, words ending in US, which have come into the English language from Latin only, you take an I at the end. So octopi then would be correct.
Sure. But it's very specific. I love it.
Mm. And then Gareth, no one wants to go and live in the snow with the snow Mexicans in Canada. Snow Mexicans. Search J.A. Floral Port Elizabeth panty story. Shocking.
Hmm?
J.A. Floral. Yeah, we got 5 minutes. Let's see if you can find it. J.A. Floral Port Elizabeth panty story. Ruth says, I love Jerusalem. So many religions. Beautiful, but you feel like you're on another planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. I think I know what this is.
What is it, Sia?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's a developing story.
Mm-hmm.
So long story short, this is what I heard about this story. This company is currently under review based on a manager who walked a female member of management, let me put it like that,
nice.
Who walked into a female loo and she noticed some menstrual mess left in a toilet. And so she now went to the female employees and demanded they take their panties off so that she can see who's currently menstruating so that they can go and clean up. But, you know, my God. Humiliation and whatnot. Oh, it's bizarre.
What year is it, honestly?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like something that would have happened in ancient history.
Yeah.
And from what I also heard, this female member of management is related to the owner of the business. So people are crying out about whether or not she'll truly be held accountable and how much can you be held accountable when your brother, for example, is running everything.
Mm-hmm.
And well, the EFF is currently
involved. The EFF just, they're looking for any fight they can possibly get their hands on at the moment.
Yes, yeah. Period.
Period. All right, thank you. That is all we got time for this morning. Have a happy day. We will see you tomorrow, 6 o'clock, bright and early. And if you want to find any of the great content that we have been producing for you over the months of lockdown and before that, you can go to cliffcentral.com and just type anything into the search bar and you'll be amazed what you can find. There are shows in the catalog about animals and about business and about history and about any number of things. So go and have a look. Find the stuff you really are interested in. Listen to one of our podcasts on cliffcentral.com. And if you like it, you'll listen to a whole lot more. We've discovered along the way that there are people who are only now starting to wake up to our podcasts, and that's terrific. The more the merrier.
It's also very sweet. There's an interview that Prof Block did while he was hosting Looking Up with George Bezos.
With George Bezos.
Him chatting.
Go and have a listen to that. That's really cool. Mm. It was about his memoirs. George Bezos wrote a book of his memoirs and came and presented them to David Block, and you might want to hear that. David Block was,
isn't
of course...
memoir, sorry to cut you off. Isn't memoir just a fabulous word?
I know you like that. You like
not
the word.
Autobiography or a book about you.
There's a difference. There's a difference. Huh? Memoirs mean you're not doing an official chronological story of your life. Memoirs are just things that you remember that you thought people might be interested in. It's a little looser. So if you're writing a book of memoirs, you don't have to follow any kind of format. If you're writing an autobiography, you have to tell the story of your life, your whole story of your life. Memoirs might just be excerpts, stories from your life. That's the difference.
Like Leanne's memoir would be called Stories I've Only Shared with People at the Jolly Roger Bar.
Well, my brother's always said...
See?
My brother said, if I write a book, and also my bestie wants to write one on her dating history because it's hilarious, then he would write a book after that saying his, hers, and the truth.
Nice. All right, very good. We will see you tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Have a good day.
CliffCentral.com.